with our friends at the Liverpool School of Tropical Medicine. We have to wear a face mask on public transport and in hospitals, but what about shops? Should that be made compulsory too? Boris Johnson has made it clear the government is now looking into that idea to help slow the spread of COVID-19, which we know has not gone away. At the same time, the Prime Minister himself was pictured wearing a face covering while on a visit in his constituency. There was a time when the government said evidence for face masks was weak. We'll try and get some perspective on this. Dr. Angela Obasi is a senior clinical lecturer at the Liverpool School of Tropical Medicine. Dr. Angela, good morning. Thanks for being with us once again.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Hope you are too. I don't have a mask on at the moment. Quite difficult in this job. But where does the science stand on this whole face covering mask thing? Has it changed?
Well, not really. So basically, I was listening to your summary and the point you make about there being conflicting evidence and uncertainty still holds true. So really what individuals have to do is follow the guidelines and make the best judgment that they have. Most people will think about erring on the side of caution if they themselves are vulnerable, if they have symptoms. The best evidence that we have at the moment is that the masks are actually most useful in stopping you from facial coverings are most useful in preventing you from transmitting to other people. As we know, droplet exposure is the main means of transmission. So as to whether or not you use a mask depends really also on the context. So I think with public transport, the reason why it's important is because that's confined spaces. The air is just circulating around. Those droplets may get, you know, two or three hits at you. Yeah. You see what I mean? Whereas in the open spaces where you're able to distance, that becomes less of an issue.
It doesn't help, though, does it? And I mentioned it briefly in the introduction there, but the Prime Minister saying, well, you know, it looks like we could possibly, I'm looking into having these masks on in shops now, a face covering in shops. And then Michael Gove, less than 24 hours later, on the Andrew Marr show, says, well, I don't think so, I don't think it's necessary. So as a member of the public, we're like, well, come on, lads, make your mind up.
Yeah, it's challenging. But, you know, if you can imagine, research takes time. It takes planning. It takes to do a formal study or to follow a cohort of people to get a definitive answer takes more time often than we've had. You know, this is still a new disease. You know, we're still learning about how it behaves. And also the surveillance that we have up and running now in the UK is still relatively new. So the evidence may change as new data comes from the research. You know, my primary area of research is HIV medicine, and we've had HIV for a long time, and it took years before we understood the best ways to prevent that, and it took years for us to come up with the drugs. And in many ways, the progress that we've made with coronavirus is really quite rapid in a global sense compared to many other diseases. It's the nature of the beast, really. To come up with definitive evidence takes time.
It's funny, behaviourally, it's funny, isn't it, how we change in a short space of time. Our behaviour changes. In the early days, it's like, well, I'm not wearing a mask. I look stupid. I don't want to wear a mask. And even Donald Trump now has started to... It's taken him a long time, but he's actually started to wear a mask. It's almost becoming second nature now. And, you know, you can get a mask with a football team on or, you know, certain brands or whatever. It's like wearing the seatbelt. It took us a little bit of time, but it's second nature now for a lot of people.
Definitely. I mean, you would be considered an idiot now if you drove around without a seatbelt. But, you know, I'm old enough to remember when people wanted to take to the streets in protest because they felt that this was a contravening their civil liberties. And I think the same is true, as you say, with coronavirus. We need to work out what is safe and comfortable as the new data emerges. And I think it's a wise precaution to wear masks in enclosed environments, like being on the bus, like being on the metro. But that's less of an issue when you're out in the parks.
And we should be clear as well. We're talking about face coverings here as well. Yes. It doesn't necessarily, you don't have to look like a surgeon in some
Absolutely.
Of these masks, as people do. But it can be a face covering. It can be, a thin scarf or a snood or something like that will do just as well.
Absolutely. And if you look on the gov.uk website, they make that clear that, this is stuff that you have in your house. You don't need to go, on Amazon or down to B&Q to buy a formal mask. We're well able to protect ourselves with the resources that we have.
And just to finish with some information that we found out from the weekend, there were reports of a spike in infections in young people in Liverpool. What do we know about and why do we know about this?
So, as I was saying before, our testing and surveillance has been ramped up recently in the UK. We're able now to geolocate where new cases are taking place, we've got some basic demographic information about age, etc. of the people who are getting infected. Now, it's only a small spike. It's only 30 cases in South Liverpool, as far as I'm aware, although that may have increased slightly. I've not checked this morning. And on the one hand, it's not unexpected now that people begin to socialise more, especially young people do socialise slightly differently. You can imagine that they might be less inclined or less habitually able to socially distance. But the good news is, what remains true is that younger people are less likely to get severe disease. So this is not, illness in classic sense. It's just infection. And I looked at a recent study in Europe that does confirm that younger people, they looked across 25 different countries, and it is really clear that younger people are less likely to get this.
Indeed, yeah, but the worry for many is when they come home, there's mum and dad and possibly nan and granddad in the house as well.
And that right there is a concern.
Right.
So if you're symptomatic, then you really should be protecting people in your household and following the social distance and isolation procedures that we're all familiar with now.
Dr. Angela, thanks once again for being with us. You take care. Have a good week. Thank you.
Total pleasure. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Dr. Angela Abbasi, who's a senior clinical lecturer at the Liverpool School of Tropical Medicine. More on that through the programme.